All right, well, let's go ahead and get started with today's message. I guess we have Kaylee's the only one that gets to go to Children's Church today. Have fun. Okay. We'll get started, and I want you to listen clearly as I start the first part of this message, okay? Your hearing is not a problem, but I wanted you to experience something that has to do with today's message. In fact, it's titled, Jesus Heals a Deaf Man. None of us know what it's like to be deaf. Some of us might be a little hard of hearing more than others. I think Jan thinks I'm hard of hearing sometimes. Where we'll drive into town and she said, even today, I told you we were to stop at the parsonage and get the food before we came to Caddis. So it's like, apparently I heard that but forgot it. Anyhow, we're not hard of hearing, but we're about to read a story in the Bible about someone who was not only deaf, but they couldn't speak either. They were a mute. And so for just a second, I wanted us to imagine what it might have been like for that person all of his life, to just look at people and watch their lips move and have no clue as to what was going on. So far in Mark, we have read a lot of stories about a lot of miracles of healing. Sometimes Jesus went to one place and healed one person, but a lot of times he went to a village and healed everybody. Can you imagine what it might have been like if you were in the village, say you were a visitor for some reason, and Jesus had just healed dozens, if not dozens upon dozens of people, and folks were out from their healing, experiencing walking, talking, seeing other things for the very first time, and what that might have looked like. Well, actually, there's a songwriter who did that. Who wrote a song from the perspective of somebody who was in a village where Jesus had just healed a bunch of people, and now those people are running around town, and we'll hear what happens. The song is called Ask the Blind Man, and the group that sings it is called the Booth Brothers. It's a Southern gospel group. I would encourage you, if there's any way possible, go to YouTube and type in Ask the Blind Man, Booth Brothers, and listen to this song. It'll mean even more to you after today's message. Here's part of the lyrics. Again, from the perspective of a random person who happened to be in town on business when Jesus healed a bunch of people. It says, I was working in town one afternoon attending to some business affairs. I heard a commotion a couple streets over and wondered what's happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him, please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and said, I was trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? You see, he was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man, he was telling myself and the deaf girl that he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man. He saw it all. The song ends with a conclusion, which is really an application. And that's one of the things I want us to take away from today's message. And we haven't even gotten to God's word, yet this song completely and perfectly portrays it. The application in the song says this: So, my friend, if the troubles and burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down, you've tried everything you can possibly think of, but there's no relief to be found. Here's the good news. That very same Jesus that altered the future of a blind man, the deaf, and the lame, he is still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you'll never be the same. What a wonderful song. You know, if we just finished the message right now, that would be good enough for us to hear and a wonderful thing to take away. And we could go eat sooner, right? But I've got a little bit more. Let's actually go to the verses first. Mark 7:31-37. Jesus left Tyre and went up to Sidon before going back to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the 10 towns. A deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. Jesus led the man away from the crowd so that they could be alone. He put his fingers in the man's ears, and then, spitting on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, some Aramaic word which means, be opened. Instantly, hear that? Instantly, the man could hear perfectly. And his tongue was freed so that he could speak plainly. Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone, but the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news. They were completely amazed and said again and again, everything he does is wonderful. He even makes the deaf to hear and gives speech to those who cannot speak. Well, for over a year now, Jesus has been ministering in that region of Galilee. Several of the stories we've read already, we find him in that area. Now he's, though, specifically in an area of that Galilee that is called Decapolis, or 10 towns. Some translations say 10 cities, because it's a region of 10 towns. Kind of like what we use for twin cities, the two cities that are next to each other in Minnesota, or the four cities on either side of the Mississippi and Illinois and Iowa. We call them the quad cities. This town, just because the 10 were so close, was called the 10 cities. But these were Greek-influenced cities. They were pagan cities, heathen cities. They were non-Jewish cities, even though they were in the area of the territory of Israel. So this is Gentile territory. Jesus, as he would have passed through this area, he would have seen statues of other gods. Zeus, for instance, Hercules, Artemis, Dionysus, Demeter. He would have seen these Greek gods all around. And here he is, God himself. That had to be an interesting feeling. Again, though within the territory of Israel, this was a Gentile, heathen, and pagan area. Let's not forget that as we keep going. Now, the purposes of God was always to save the Gentiles. Christ came to be the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of the world, and he came first to Israel. But Israel was not the end of salvation. They were the means to carry the message of salvation to the rest of the world. And now that's what we're to do. Again, Jesus is in this Gentile territory, giving us kind of a preview of what the Great Commission would be that he would give to the disciples and that he's now giving to us, that the gospel would be spread all across the world to every creature. The area that Jesus is in, where this healing was taking place with the crowds of people, Decapolis, 10 towns, those of us that have been listening or in church the last several weeks, we know that several weeks ago, earlier in the book of Mark, we were in a story where Jesus healed a demoniac, a demon-possessed man. Remember that? The demon-possessed man lived in the cemetery. The chains could not hold him. He was a terrorizing person in the neighborhood. And yet Jesus came and called out the demons that were in him, which were by the thousands, sent them into the pigs. The pigs ran into the lake and drowned. And if you recall, obviously, some farmers lost a lot of livestock that day. Maybe it was them, maybe it was others, the people buying sausage the next week. They said, Jesus, get out of here. We don't want anything to do with you. You've just destroyed some of our livelihood here. But if you remember, Jesus told the man, the demoniac man who he had just healed, he said, you go back and tell your family what I've done for you. And guess what? The story we're in today is just months later. So it appears that that demoniac man did just what Jesus asked him to do. He went and started telling everybody. Even though some people were not real happy with Jesus, maybe, he's told everybody about Jesus and what he's done for him. So that's the picture of where we're at right now. So the large crowd started coming to him in this area of Decapolis. Literally many crowds, multiple crowds, vast waves of crowds kept coming to him. And they were bringing all those that were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and all kinds of issues with them. The people that where Jesus was, and the people that were bringing their sick to Jesus, they were living in an area where they had been worshiping idols. That's what they did all their life. But they became very much aware of the power of Jesus. In fact, I'm wondering, the Bible and nowhere else tells us, I'm wondering if this mute, deaf man, if his friends and family didn't bring him to these different idols throughout the cities and try to get him healed. Maybe they offered some type of a sacrifice. Maybe they cut their wrists, or maybe they offered an animal sacrifice, or they did something and they just prayed over it. Maybe they beat themselves in front of the idol. And yet the man is still deaf and mute. In fact, a lot of the people in the towns have problems. So here he comes. He begins healing. And everybody that's brought to him is instantly healed, to the degree that the people are absolutely astounded by Jesus' healing power. They actually go so far as to glorify the God of Israel. Remember, they had the God of this. And oh, by the way, now we have the God of Israel. But I believe they're seeing something different about the God of Israel than all the others combined. They recognize that the God of Israel is a God of a completely different nature. And now it's in this context that we're in Mark 7. And because of this miracle that takes place, this is one of those times where we're going to see this healing. And so this deaf mute man, from his friends and family, whoever it is, they throw Jesus at his feet. The man was deaf. And his deafness, deafness in general, when it's congenital or when it occurs by age 2 or 3, always leaves an impediment in the speech, because it's hard to form words if you can't hear words. And so it is normal for those who are congenitally deaf to struggle speaking when they cannot hear. And in that world, there were no remedies. There was no association to go to. There was no deaf school to go to. There was no speech therapist to go to. No hearing aids. Excuse me. And really, there was no desire to even try in this culture. Now, this is a sad reality, but Israel, which we think of as being the godly nation, Israel didn't treat people who were deaf and mute well at all. They categorized them as being insane. The rabbi said, if we can't understand what they know, if they can't communicate, they must be insane. So they weren't granted the normal human rights in Israel. And as bad as it was in Israel, it was even worse in the Gentile area. And of course, that's where this man was, in the area of the 10 towns. So who knows how bad his life was, and for others like him. And then to add to that, the Jews would put on him a kind of a label that if somebody had this kind of a malady, that they were under the curse of God, because of some judgment of God, and they would be viewed as unclean. And you know, the people like the Pharisees and Sadducees, they didn't touch anything that was unclean. They stayed away from it. And I think that's important to know, because what we're going to see Jesus do is the unthinkable. In fact, we already read about it. He took his fingers and he put them in the ears of the man. He touched him. And then, as gross as it sounds, I hope I never go to a doctor and he starts this way. But that's what Jesus did. He says he spit on his own finger and then he touched the man's tongue. Now that's a touch like none other. Well, it was pretty common throughout the whole world to treat deaf, mute people like this. In fact, I read that the Native Americans, so come back to the United States, come back to hundreds if not thousands of years ago, they viewed people who were deaf mutes as monsters and they would actually execute them. So it was a struggle to be deaf and unable to communicate. Much more of a struggle for him than if he would have been blind, because a blind person could still talk and hear and interact. So this man, he had a lifetime of a stigma, of sadness, and rejection. He had a stigma, he had sadness, and he had rejection. Now, we're talking about the deaf, mute fella, but maybe you feel that way in your life, or have felt that way in your life sometimes, where something's put a stigma on you. The way people look at you is a certain way that's not kind. And that's left you with sadness. It's left you with a feeling of rejection. But thank goodness he had some friends or family, whoever they were, that got a hold of him and brought him to Jesus. In the New Living Translation that I just shared, that I read from the scripture, it says the men brought him to Jesus. But other translations say that the original word that was in Greek is a word that says he was flung at Jesus' feet. He was thrown at Jesus' feet. It wasn't that they just brought him up and stood him in front. They tossed him. You get his hands, I'll get his feet, and we'll throw him over in front of Jesus. Jesus would have had to trip over him to miss him. But that's how important it was for these folks to make sure that he was at Jesus' feet. And then what did Jesus do? He touched him. And that shows a tenderness of our God. He was eager to touch what the scribes and Pharisees would have viewed as defiling themselves. Touching a person was an act of compassion and love. And while Jesus is not with us physically to do this and to do this, he's still willing to touch us wherever and however he can. And we can feel that spiritually. Sometimes we feel it physically. Well, Jesus took this man aside from the crowd, and this probably had never happened to him with a stranger that would be willing to touch him or to even spend time with him. Jesus showed the kindness and compassion to this fellow. He's not just another face in the crowd to Jesus. He is a person. And he's going to have some alone time just with this man. And it's another lesson for us to learn. While God can see all 7 or 8 billion people, however many there are in the world, he can see us all at once, and yet he can also see us one-on-one. So don't ever think God's too big or too busy not to give his concentration and full attention to you. This is the heart of God. When Jesus came to demonstrate his deity, he did it through healing, and we've read many stories about it. He healed many people because it communicated the great compassion of God. When Jesus put his fingers in the ears and the man instantly heard, and he touched his tongue and the man instantly started speaking plainly, that was amazing. And to hear is one thing. But to be able, and this is the miracle. I mean, if we just see that somebody who couldn't talk now talked and couldn't hear now hears, we would clap our hands and say, great job, Jesus, nice miracle. But really consider what happened. To be able to know that what you're hearing is language when you've never heard language is a huge miracle. There's no speech therapy here. He doesn't have to go to language class to learn Aramaic or Greek. He has the full use in the language he's never heard. The full use of the language he's never heard. Think how long it takes to train a child to speak. It's months, and sometimes they make sounds, but it takes months before they say a word, and usually it's one syllable. And then we know the process, and it takes. Then they can put two words together, and three, and then a sentence, and then a paragraph. And then they don't stop talking. Would you be quiet for just a moment, please? But this guy, when he was healed, he had a mastery of language and communication instantly. That's a part of the miracle we could easily miss. To hear it, to understand it, and to speak it plainly. He heard and spoke perfectly. No therapy, no learning curve. Nobody had to teach him to form the letters or form the words. Nobody had to teach him what words were. It's really stunning. No recovery period, but there never is with Jesus' miracles. Whatever Jesus did to heal someone, they were healed perfectly and instantly. If they had been lame, we've known of stories where people were lame for years, if not decades. And when he said, okay, get up and take your mat and walk, they didn't have to stretch first, or they didn't have to have someone to help them up. These were muscles, tendons, ligaments that had not been used for decades, and all of a sudden, it doesn't hurt to get up even. It wasn't like, oh boy, let me just stretch a minute. Instantly, that's the way Jesus heals. And there's no progression here. He couldn't hear, now he hears. He couldn't speak, now he speaks. And he hears perfectly and speaks perfectly. That's the amazing miracle that we're reading about today. And this same Jesus that healed him is the same Jesus that we serve today. It's why we came here to gather today to worship that God. It's why we've been singing songs to that same Jesus. It's why we shared praises, because that same Jesus that did this has done other things still today. And it's why we offer prayer requests, even the unspoken things, because we know this same Jesus can do anything for anyone. Well, everything Jesus has done, he's done perfectly. And the crowd was commenting on the perfection of his miracles. They said, look at the blind they see. Look at the lame they walk. Look at the deaf they hear. Look at the mute they speak. And it's perfect. They walk perfectly. They see perfectly. They hear perfectly. They speak perfectly. And then the people who were sick, well, they're perfectly healthy now. Roy, we're going to finish up, so if you want to head to the piano, we'll just have one more thought here, and then we'll conclude with our song. Being physically healed is a great thing, and something even like, say, I just a few days ago cried out to my faith community and said, hey, could you pray for me? And the Lord has helped, for sure. But the greatest thing Jesus can do for us is salvation. Because that's not just going to last for our lifetime. It's going to last forever. And salvation is offered to everyone. And we need to remember that. We come to him by faith in the gospel. Not just that Jesus is a healer and a worker of miracles, but he is a redeemer who gave his life on the cross, paid the penalty for our sins, rose from the dead triumphantly, and right now, at this very moment, he sits at the right hand of God on a throne. And the question is, have you received Jesus as your Savior? And that's a question maybe you can ask someone else that, if they have you or have they confessed Jesus as Lord? He will heal our soul right now and one day our body. He has the power to do both. Roy, what's our closing song?
We're going to go back and